Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Alan Mahana, and boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of stories today. Iron Fist gets canceled by Marvel and Netflix, directors returning and shifting franchises, sequels confirmed, trailers released. What a week! What a week in the film and television industry. On top of all that, we witnessed a masterpiece, the directorial debut of Bradley Cooper in his rendition of A Star is Born. I don't even know where to begin this week. There's so much to cover. I do know one thing, however. I can't do any of that without the solo to my Chewbacca, Ahad Solo.
Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, Alan?
It's Script to Screen News Hour, so I'm good.
It's packed.
It is jam-packed.
There is so much going on and man, so many different things.
That's it. I mean, summer ends, fall season begins. Everybody is awake now. Things are rolling.
Yeah, it's like action.
Yeah, literally. Like, it is. I mean,
it's on fire.
It is on fire.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Good season.
We are definitely far from the shallows now.
Oh,
hey.
Not bad.
I know. Nice. I came prepared today.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a script. There's notes. It's legit.
It's like full on.
It is legit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so much to cover. Iron Fist is canceled.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we bid you farewell.
But here's the thing. He's not. The show is canceled. He isn't. He is going to continue to appear in the other shows.
So the Defenders.
Mainly because in the comics, Iron Fist has a relationship with Luke Cage.
Okay, so they're going to bring him into Luke Cage.
Most likely, I think he'll end up there. Okay. I watched 7 episodes of the new season. It's not that bad. It's better than the first season.
Okay.
But still, it doesn't live up to Daredevil season 1.
I mean, does anything live up to Daredevil season 1?
Apparently season 3, which I haven't started
yet. Yeah, critics are loving season 3 of that. That's for sure. That's for sure. Speaking of unforgettable things.
Yes.
Speaking of unforgettable things, the movie of the week this week is none other than Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, A Star is Born.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the star was born.
Well, I mean, as a director, that star was born. Bradley
Literally.
Cooper.
Literally.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like off and on screen, and both. What a talent.
For sure. The film was distributed in Lebanon via Warner Brothers.
Yes.
on. So that's, you know, we send them a big thank you for allowing us to get a chance to see this film. What a movie.
What a fantastic work of art.
Yeah. I mean, literally, it is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. And I mean, I don't even, I wrote the review, but every time I think about the movie, it just leaves me without lyrics.
Yes.
Literally.
Absolutely. I have a bunch of friends who I recommended the movie to personally, and they were stunned. They were blown away. It's one of the first times where there is no wrong with what I recommend. Every single person I've told, go watch it. They leave really breathless, speechless, drained. What a fantastic film.
Let's break down the film. How about we talk about Bradley Cooper's directing first, and then we'll talk about the story as a whole and then the performances. Let's do that. Because I really feel like this movie really deserves a full-on
analysis, good
division. Yeah. Which I almost feel like we should be doing for all the films and not just kind of like brushing over it. But so let's talk about Bradley Cooper's directing. What did you think? Personally, I'm super impressed with what he's done.
I don't know why I see the next Clint Eastwood
as
a director in him.
Yes.
He has that
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. But very honestly speaking, what he was able to do with the actors, these emotions. The movie is 2.5 hours, two hours 15 minutes long.
Yep.
It goes by like 30 seconds. It's really well made. The editing is just purely simple and smooth, and it just makes sense.
Well, in comparison to the films that came before, I love how relevant Bradley Cooper made this film.
Yeah.
Like it is a remake, but it's a remake done well.
Yeah.
It's a remake that feels relevant to a 2018 audience. And he's added a certain flair that the other films have not had. I have seen the Judy Garland version. Mm-hmm. I've seen pieces of the Barbara Streisand version. I have not seen the first original one, A Star Is Born, which was made in 1937. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that one. But I love how Bradley Cooper doesn't shy away from anything in this film. He shows you how corrupt and ugly and painful the music or just the entertainment industry as a whole is. I love how he kind of flips the camera in the concert sequences. He doesn't put the camera with the audience. He puts the camera with the artist on the stage.
Yeah.
And if you notice, their backs are to us watching them on the screen.
Yeah.
So the camera literally, it almost feels like you are on the stage with those artists. You get that jolt of the crowd screaming, you get the adrenaline of what it feels like almost to be on stage. I love that he was able to do this. I love that the singing was live.
Yeah.
They live recorded the songs. None of that was lip synced. I don't know what the verbiage of that is, but he just made it real. He made it raw. He didn't. Yes, there was this Hollywood romance to it, but it wasn't. It didn't fall into the fairy tale. No, he wasn't. He wasn't afraid of hitting us where it hurts, exposing us to a truth, to an ugly truth. So I gotta give him props for that from a directorial perspective.
Yeah, and he also happens to have co-written the movie.
Yeah.
Which is also fascinating. This guy is multi-talented. He sings.
His voice. Oh, my Lord.
And what I love is how he tackles these very interesting topics like addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like when
so real. So real.
It's very
and
realistic.
Raw.
And when someone kicks off in the entertainment industry and they have all these beliefs and they want to go within a specific direction, and then when the bubble starts building up, are they willing to compromise all that and go in a different direction, which pleases the audience? So that's also a very interesting aspect.
That apparently hit very close to home to Lady Gaga while making the movie. Specifically, she specifically talks about the scene where, the producer tells her, I'm not spoiling anything major, but there's a part in the movie where the producer tells her, what happened to the dancers? And she's like, well, I just felt like I could handle it, and he's like, the next time you want to make a decision, don't. That's my job to tell, if I think there should be dancers, then there should be dancers.
Yeah.
So it really shows you that the artist really has no control. They become a slave to the industry.
What the
audience is wanting and what the audience is purchasing, and which is why the last shot in the film, I'm not going to spoil it, but the last shot in the film before the screen cuts to black, this is why it's so very poignant and very Oliver Stone JFK.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying.
I have not seen.
You've not seen Oliver Stone's JFK? Okay. Well, we'll talk about it in the later on. We'll discuss that later on. Performances wise, the film is insane.
They're magnificent.
I mean, for me, Bradley gets, that half a step over Lady Gaga. For me, there were certain scenes where the character slipped away from her and we really saw Gaga and we didn't see Ali. And those were little minor things for me. But again, very, very, very minor. The beginning of the film, when you first meet Ali, was a very rough start for me. That scene in the bathroom, I was like, oh no, this doesn't work. And then the moment her and Bradley meet, moving forward, I was like, oh, okay, this is like a completely different woman. Like, I don't know who that was in that first scene, but the parking lot scene,
I agree with what you said. I actually find both of them equally performing on an equal level.
The very rare times where Hod and I slightly disagree.
It's
something.
Like a very minor disagreement, but again, like the role does help her to be very
for sure.
It's like Eminem in 8 Mile. I mean,
singer playing singer.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to just say something I wasn't able to say in my review on Instagram, which is the supporting cast.
Oh, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Oh.
Sam Elliott was massive.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That scene in the parking lot, that's why for a second, and I'm not going to say anything because that scene is...
The scene with him and Sam Elliott is amazing. And then the scene with her and Sam Elliott towards the end
is also
powerful.
I think because everyone's talking about Bradley, everyone's talking about Lady Gaga, I think Sam Elliott... I really enjoyed Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Seeing him in that role, also very, very interesting.
And Anthony Ramos, who plays Lady Gaga's best friend. Although you barely see him, whenever he is on the screen, he is very captivating. And he was actually in the cast of Hamilton. So hence the slight dancing that he does in front of the plane.
Exactly.
That's a very Broadway move, whatever he did.
And we both have to admire, I'm sure, the chemistry between Gaga and...
Oh, I mean, absolutely superb. For me, it competes with all the other A Star Is Born chemistry. Yeah. I mean, it's seriously challenging. Do you feel Oscar buzz around this?
I do. Not just Oscar, like the whole package, everything.
Yeah.
Golden Globes.
For sure. I mean, and well deserved, honestly.
Absolutely.
Honestly, well deserved. So, guys, A Star Is Born is playing in movie theaters across Lebanon. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it?
I just loved it. It's an emotional ride.
I mean, we were all crying at the end of the movie. I mean, you look around in the movie theater, everybody's eyes are just like, oh my God.
It should have been sponsored by Kleenex.
It should have.
and the movie theater should give people 2 minutes with the lights off to kind of collect themselves. But honestly, I left the movie and I think you did too. And we were just like
shook.
We were emotionally drained.
I was drained. Yeah, for sure. I was emotionally drained. But yes, I do want to repeat what you just said. Movie theaters across Lebanon, if you're listening to us, please don't put your cleaning staff in immediately after the credits. There are certain people who actually like to sit and absorb the movie that they watched.
Yeah.
Please don't turn on the lights and kick us out. The credits are there for a reason, and there are a few of us who actually like to watch them.
And I'm ready to talk about so many, 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 many things.
Right? Yeah. Right? We've got a serious rundown. We gotta be flying through because we
Hollywood slow down.
Yeah, give us a chance to properly talk about everything.
Let us process.
At one point, I was like, okay, we're lacking in news. Like, it's just casting, and all of a sudden,
it's like everything's happening. Like,
you know, punch it. You know, like, it's flying through. Okay, so let's go ahead and start. So Sony's on crack, right?
Well, kind of, yeah.
What?
They're on Venom.
They are on some serious symbiote.
Yep.
I don't know what is happening here. I'm very confused as to what Sony's doing. So if you guys haven't heard, Sony is going through with the Morbius, the Living Vampire standalone
film. The Jared Leto film.
Which is starring Jared Leto. Morbius is one of Spider-Man's villains.
Yep.
They're also going through with Kraven the Hunter.
Yes.
And the plot twist with the Kraven the Hunter movie is that it's going to feature Spider-Man. So, wait, what?
This is very confusing.
So, are we going to have a different Spider-Man than Tom Holland? Or is this going to be Tom Holland? Or are they recasting Tom Holland? Or what's the deal? So, from what I could research, is that apparently the deal between Sony and Marvel is that Marvel has shared custody, almost like a shared, you know, they're lending Spider-Man to the MCU, but they're only lending him for 3 films. So which is kind of weird, because then does Avengers Part 4 or Avengers 3 and 4, is that counting as one movie?
No, because
or
he
is
has
this 2 movies or
no, because he has the new one he's filming right
so,
now.
So, okay. So we've got Homecoming, we've got Far From Home, and then we've got Avengers Infinity War Part 1, but we also have Infinity War Part 2, so...
Maybe solo movies?
Perhaps. I don't get it. So are they only counting the solo films, or are they also counting the Avengers films?
Because if you count that, there's also Civil War.
Civil War, he was in Civil War, so I don't know what the formula is here. It's very confusing. But what's even more confusing is that Sony still thinks that they're going to do this.
Well, look, from a financial standpoint and what happened with Venom, whether we like the movie or not, it was successful. It had one of the biggest opener.
It beat A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
I mean, it doubled what Star Is Born.
40 million, 80 million for Venom.
Yeah.
And so from that financial standpoint, they saw that they can cash in on this kind of system. And I guess that's what they're going to do. Now, I think it's not sustainable. I think it doesn't work.
It's not going to unless they fully rip Spider-Man away from the MCU, which also doesn't make any sense because the MCU is not going to be willing to do that. Like,
no, and here's what bothers me, because if they wanted to do that, from the kickoff, I wanted to see Spider-Man in Venom.
Right,
that's
right,
where you
right.
know you introduce him and you share custody of the character, and you, and then everything makes sense for the ratings to be similar and the tones to be kind of.
Well, they could have allowed at least Peter Parker to show up in Venom. So you get what I'm saying. So like, it wouldn't have been you wouldn't have seen Spider-Man per se, but you at least would have acknowledged that Peter Parker actually lives in the universe.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying. So like, they could have been a better formula is what we're you know trying to get at here, because I really don't want to see another Spider-Man. Like another actor play Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Unless with the Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse, they're introducing all these different universes. So could they possibly recap? It's getting so freaking confusing. That's all I'm saying. Like, they're getting this close to becoming as confusing as the DCEU, and that's saying something.
Yeah. Look, I just think I think that it won't last. I think Venom is going to work well. It won't do well within the next movie. I'm not sure about the Morbius movie. I'm not sure about Kraven the Hunter. We'll have to wait and see how things develop. But again, Sony are looking at this as a cash cow. This is a kind of franchise which is profitable to them.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing they're looking at. And look at Venom. If you critically look at Venom and you analyze it properly from a comic book standpoint and from someone who enjoys movies properly, you see that it's a weak movie.
It has a lot of flaws, and the flaws are just not acceptable.
And I don't think they really care, because they had chances to probably make the movie better. They were shooting it as an R-rating movie. Then they made it to PG-13 and so on and so forth.
But
so.
Morbius is apparently hitting the PG-13 thing as well. They're all going to be PG-13. Yeah. But again, like, you know, when we live in a world where a movie like The Meg makes as much money as it did, you know, this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but The Meg doesn't belong to a certain universe that has to respect and so on.
No, but I'm talking about like caliber of movie. You know, like I'm literally talking caliber of film, quality of film. You know, we live in a world where that was successful.
True, absolutely.
You know, and it's just, it's whatever.
Let's see.
On the other hand, speaking of a continuation of films, so like sequels and whatnot, World War, we were just talking about this, what was it, like 2 weeks ago?
Something like that.
World War Z sequel is finally
happening.
Being made. It's crazy. What's even crazier is the director attached to this movie.
I am so happy, by the way.
David Fincher. Like,
and Brad Pitt, they're back.
Wow.
Fight Club 2 with zombies.
Fight Club 7?
Yeah.
Fight Club 7. I believe Panic Room was also directed by David Fincher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but
Mindhunter. Yeah, no, I'm just talking what David Fincher has given us.
Alien 3.
Alien 3. So this is, I'm pumped.
Social Network.
Yeah, The Social Network. Look at this is like a qualified director to take on a movie
like this
called World War Z. I am really interested now. Like, I was not interested when the rumors, you and I both were not.
No.
When the rumors were flying about. But with a director like Fincher attached,
it changes the whole.
Yeah, this could be something very, very interesting here. Because I'm very interested to see what a director like Fincher does to a story like this, which is so over the top. I mean,
and where it continues after how the first one finished.
I mean, now I have to go back and watch World War Z, like, because I haven't. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it. So
I watched it not too long ago. Actually, it's a fun movie. It's a good movie. It's quite good, and the twists in it are very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like I want to see. Like now, I want to see it again. I want to go back and see. Just to theorize, like, where is Fincher going to take this?
Let's see, because Fincher is good at the twists.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to see what he's going to do.
I mean, Fight Club, anyone?
What happens in Fight Club? No.
what's in the box?
Oh, that's 7.
Yeah.
Now you're mixing movies. Oh, my God.
I know.
Would you friend me? Social Network.
Social, yeah, got it.
Okay, yeah, but no, I am excited again to see what Fincher can do, is capable with that. He's a very interesting director. He's very dark in what he does. He's violent.
Mindhunter.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the Netflix show. Yeah. Did you see it?
It's a very, I did. Very
so
good show.
So twisted, so good.
It's an excellent show. Absolutely. I think if someone would tackle zombies in an interesting way.
It's Fincher.
And with Brad Pitt, very good combination. Yep. They've done a couple of movies together that were successful. Yep. So let's see how that goes too.
You know who else I'm very interested to see what he does with a very, very bad franchise?
I do.
James freaking Gunn. Yeah. The saga continues.
Elsewhere. It continues.
Dropped by Disney, snagged by DC to direct, I can't believe I'm even saying this. James Gunn is going to be directing the Suicide Squad sequel. Like, holy mother, does that excite me for Suicide Squad 2 now. Even though the first one was so bad, this time around, I'm like, oh, well played, DC, well played.
But has he been snagged or are they rumors? Because I read there was
No, it's confirmed.
It's confirmed.
I believe he is writing and directing the sequel to Suicide Squad, which, again, this makes me very happy.
Look, Suicide Squad as
the concept.
Comic,
yeah,
the, comic
yeah, the concept.
It's very interesting.
It's fun.
They're a lot of fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to have these bad guys do good things. And I remember watching the first Suicide Squad trailer, and I've talked about this. It looked like a fun movie.
Oh my God.
Good.
With the queen, a track and just the whole thing.
And Margot Robbie smashing a window and she steals something and she's like, that's what we do. We're the bad guys.
Yeah. Batsy, you know?
So that was really good. And what James Gunn can bring to that, I think, organization, because He's a very organized person in what he does and what he's created. And he's been working at Marvel for a while now. And he knows how the formula, he knows how the formula works. He knows how to create, if you want, a universe and expand on that. He did that with Guardians.
Yep,
he absolutely. Was lined up to do something else.
He was supposed
else.
To do something way bigger
yep.
before, you know...
He got fired.
Disney fired him.
Absolutely. And now he can do that and hopefully be one of the people that can fix the DC worlds of EU or whatever the hell they mm-hmm. want to call mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So I am very excited.
So am I.
Yeah.
So am I.
I can show you the world.
How about you show me? How about you show me? How about no?
How about is Aladdin going clubbing after?
Okay. So earlier this week, Disney decides to drop the teaser trailer for Aladdin. What a swing and a miss.
What a miss.
What a not wonderful world. No. What it hurts. It yeah. hurts so bad. Because I'm slowly realizing that all of my worries about this film are coming true.
Your wish is coming true.
Yeah, well
it's not your wish, but yeah.
Okay. So obviously, the movie is being directed by Guy Ritchie, who mm-hmm. I am certainly not a huge fan of.
Okay.
Directorially. The cast is questionable. We've got, what's his name? Masood. His first name.
I don't know. I just know Will Smith as Genie.
You mean the Fresh Prince of Belgini?
Yeah, sure. I love Will Smith.
I love Will Smith too,
but no.
I mean, okay. So the cast was announced. We looked at the cast and we're like, ooh. And then the poster is released, and I'm like, well, I mean, there's nothing special here. It's just the lamp on a purple background.
Sure.
Well, why not?
That was okay.
And then the trailer drops, and so does my heart. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing: if you're looking at the trailer and Look at it shot by shot. Everything before that last shot gives you some form of excitement. And I think what helps is the amazing arrangement to the music, because it just felt very epic. You know, you got the, you know, it was very, very percussion based, very epic, huge orchestra. It gave me something. I'm not saying I was like fully on board, but what I'm saying was I was like, okay, maybe I misjudged. And then you see him looking at the lamp with gelled hair, looking so clean. He walked out of a dry cleaner's, not even shirtless. Do you notice? Like, he wasn't wearing just the vest. He was wearing like a long sleeved shirt that was like with sleeves drawn back. Like, it wasn't even the official Aladdin like garb. And he looked at a lamp with no fascination whatsoever. His eyes look dead and hollow. Like, he's looking at the lamp like, you know, not even an inch of emotion. Like, yeah. What? I'm not happy, clearly.
Yep, neither am I.
Yeah, I mean...
Look, I watched the trailer a couple of times.
Me too.
The teaser. And it didn't do anything to me, even musically or anything. I am so not excited for this film. And we had this conversation a few days ago, you and I and some friends. And Aladdin is based on Robin Williams's performance. The majority of the script is improvised by Williams. And yes, you have an outline for the movie, mm-hmm. but everything mm-hmm. came together with Williams and the, right. the Disney cartoon right. animation that we all know and love is what it is today. And you can say Beauty and the Beast, but you won't have a specific star in mind, you'll have the whole story and the whole package. You can say, I don't know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, etc.
Right.
But when you say Aladdin, uh-huh. the first thing that pops into your head,
is
into
Genie.
My head,
yes.
is Genie,
Genie.
Which is
For sure.
Robin Williams.
For sure.
So trying to
absorb the fact.
Replicate that with someone else. Again, with all my respect to Will Smith as an actor, just don't touch this film. Just leave it. Let it be.
Yeah.
That's my problem with this film.
You know, my brother-in-law and I were talking yesterday, and we were like, and I literally looked at him and I was like, Disney could have literally just restored all of their animation films. They could have even done a post-production 3D type thing, restored them to 4K, full HD, re-released them in movie theaters. None of us would have complained. We would have probably gone to the movie theater. Could you imagine Lion King on an IMAX screen, which we did not have back in the day? Yep. Can you imagine Aladdin on an IMAX screen with 3D possibly? That would have been exciting. Like, yep. Disney could have done any formula.
What they could have done is done it in Toy Story.
Yeah, like computer animation.
Computer animation. Why not? It would have been better than I think what's going to come out. Again, it's not good to judge ahead of time, but from what we've seen we've read,
nothing about it is exciting me. It's just, you know, and what's funny, it's like you comment about this, like you speak on it on social media, and people are like, oh my God, like, why are you saying that? Why are you being so negative? Like, it looks really cool and the magic and the whatever. I'm like, no, that's my opinion.
I'll tell
you know, like.
But the opinion, I think, is divided by two age groups. Our age group who grew up with these movies and who love them, and a younger age group who is not in love with these films. I don't feel they own.
They were never given a chance to fall in love with these films.
Exactly.
And that's why I said, like, the formula could have been different. Like, you know, but we have an episode that we're planning. We're going to be talking about this live action, the Disney live action formula, and whether or not it's working. Speaking of Disney live action, there are rumors now circling about. We knew that The Little Mermaid was getting a live action adaptation. There are rumors now circling that Lady Gaga might be getting the role of Ursula. I'm on board.
Why not?
That is, I mean, with her vocal talent and her, you know, her craziness, it works for me.
She can bring a lot to the character.
Yeah, she could bring a lot of depth to the character. That I'm not bothered by that. I am, however, confused that Sylvester Stallone is giving us another Rambo.
I think he's...
What?
I think I saw the picture. And I don't understand why Rambo is a cowboy.
I don't understand why Rambo looks like Walker, Texas Ranger.
Who would win, Walker, Texas Ranger or Rambo? Interesting.
Chuck Norris or Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah. Well, Chuck Norris always wins.
What? Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'm not fully for this movie, but then again, I'm not against it because, let me tell you why. Look at Rocky and what they did with Rocky Balboa.
Right.
That was interesting. It was a good film. Maybe they want to show that side of an older Rambo, retired Rambo, give the character actual depth, because Rambo's all about blowing up crap, not to say another word, and killing people. I mean, the one before, Rambo 4, if I'm not mistaken, the one where he literally blows people up with a machine gun, just shoots, and then you see heads popping. I've never laughed so much at it.
Yeah, I mean, I almost want to go back and watch all the Rambos now. But I know someone like my father was like, really? That sounds awesome. And I'm like, Dad, no, you like Blade Runner. Like, please don't tell me you're excited about a Rambo movie. He goes, why not? Sounds fun. Maybe.
I think if written and done properly, maybe they can actually give depth to this character because he has a lot of history. He's been around for 40 years.
You're right. If they give him the kind of depth that they gave Rocky in the Creed movies.
Exactly.
Sure.
It could work. It could be a nice, smarter Rambo.
Right.
More, if you want, intellectual. It's never going to be like super intellectual, but it might have that kind of feel to it.
Sure.
And it could be an interesting action movie. Let's see what direction they take, I think.
Yeah.
But the cowboy, I don't understand.
Me neither.
He's
me
retired neither. On a ranch. He's going to kill the cattle.
The final story that we are going to be covering today, I believe that's something that you expressed to you wanted to talk about because because it's a series that you enjoy a lot, and I believe they're movies that you enjoy a lot.
Absolutely.
So I'm literally going to take a step back here and let you kind of vamp and vent, because honestly, I've only seen a few episodes of the of the TV show. You know, I mean, I like it, but it's not something that I watch constantly. And I've seen only one of the films. Like, I haven't even seen all of the Lethal Weapons.
Okay.
So you're more versed here, and this is something that's more close to your heart. So knock yourself out.
Okay. I'm going to try to do this quick because there is something you forgot to talk about. Something you shared with me yesterday about Aladdin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you do that.
So let me finish this very quickly. I'm not going to take a lot of time.
Yes.
But basically, okay, so I love the movies. The TV show is a lot of fun. It's not the best show in the world, but it's a show I enjoy watching without thinking a lot and overanalyzing. So a quick rundown of what happened. It stars one of the Waynes, the son of Damon Waynes, if I'm not mistaken. And it used to star I can't say his name.
Actually, no. It does star Damon Waynes.
Damon Waynes. I always get confused between Damon and Marianne and...
Yeah, no. It does star Damon.
Okay, Damon, the son. And Clay Ford. And the guy with the mustache. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what happened is last year, there were apparently problems on set. The guy playing Martin Riggs was very aggressive and angry and was very close to the character in real life. And they ended up firing him.
Right.
So fast forward to this year, the show continues with the replacement for Riggs. They get a new character on the series,
right,
played by Sean William Scott.
Right.
And you have Waynes in the movie. And now Waynes is talking about quitting and leaving the show to spend more time with his family and to do other things and pursue something more comedic. And the show is taking, you know, a lot of...
He's also diabetic, isn't he?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And what it turns out is that initially him and Riggs never got along on set. And there were a lot of fights and a lot of arguments. So here's what bothers me. When you have a franchise which is starting to work and has a certain viewership and fanship, just put your egos aside. Work for the Lethal Weapon is relatively an iconic film.
Yeah.
Has a lot of history. Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Yeah.
These characters are very loved characters. Respect those characters.
The legacy.
Exactly. That's the word. The legacy. Respect that legacy. And don't go throwing tantrums like 5-year-olds and getting that person fired. And then now you suddenly decide that you want to spend time with your family. So he's going to leave. What's going to happen to the show? Can Lethal Weapon work without Riggs and Murtaugh? Will it work with a new duo? I do not think so.
Yeah.
It's very sad when something like this
you literally
happens.
End up watching a show falling apart, and it's very sad.
One of the worst
things
in the show you're enjoying, you're loving, and goes crashing down.
Speaking of things crashing down, it's a great transition. Really quick, because I don't want to take too much time, but I did express my want to talk about this because I wanted to raise more awareness about this just to show that the film industry, kind of like how Bradley Cooper showed what the music industry is like, I want to show you how ugly the film industry can be. So apparently, a screenwriter by the name of Terry Rossio, who wrote the 1992 animated feature Aladdin, shared his frustration on Twitter on October 11th, so a couple of days ago, and he said the following: "So strange that literally the only words spoken in the new Aladdin trailer happens to be a rhyme that my writing partner and I wrote, and Disney offers zero compensation to us or to any screenwriters on any of these live-action remakes, not even a t-shirt or a pass to the park. Animated films are not covered by the Writers Guild of America and not subject to any rules other than those specifically contracted. The studio owns the content on an animated feature. When the films were made, no one foresaw a live-action remake, so nothing was contracted. Disney has been approached many times for some kind of compensation fee. I asked for a Disney pass, but they answered no, zilch, nada." So this is basically what's happening here, is that these screenwriters who gave us those brilliant, magical, powerful Disney classic films are now being literally treated like yesterday's trash, forgotten writers of yesteryear, not being treated with any lick of respect, and Disney's banking over the stories that they wrote. So for me, as an aspiring screenwriter and a writer in general, this is just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to hear this specifically from a company that I really respect, and I love the products that they give out. When it comes to movies, I'm a huge fan of the Disney parks, Disney television shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to hear that this is what they're doing to these screenwriters, that they're not even recognizing them, they're not even giving them any form of residuals or compensation, is sad. It's really, really sad. And again, this is what happens when, and you said this, a while back, this is what happens when you focus purely on the money.
Yep.
This is what happens when art no longer becomes art. When storytelling and making movies and inspiring people and all of that becomes second priority to us making a buck. And it's hurtful. It's ugly. It's really, really, really ugly. I read this yesterday on an Instagram account that I follow. It's called Network ISA, which is the International Screenwriters Association, who I am a proud member of. They posted this from Terry Rossio's Twitter. And it really breaks my heart. It really does. I'd love to actually sit down and talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if I can snag him for a script to screen episode, because talking with the screenwriter of Aladdin would just fill me with so much joy.
Yeah.
It would fill me with so much joy. So we are now on our final segment here. We've got just enough time to talk about the Lebanese box office, which is very exciting. The top five films this week. Do you want to start?
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Really? You're going to give me the Pope Francis movie?
Yeah.
coming in at number five is the Pope Francis, A Man of His Word film. Yes, that is actually a thing.
It's a film or a documentary?
It's a documentary, obviously. With 3,255 entries, probably mostly church groups.
Amen.
Amen. That's coming in at number five.
Okay.
And it's in its first week.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
At number four, you have a movie that's been out for 2 weeks already, which is Night School, the Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish film, which is at 4,176 entries.
Okay.
Which is a comedy, which is fun, cute film, which makes sense.
That's decent. That's decent. Okay, and then we've got Johnny English Strikes Again on its third week already. This week it made 14,915 entries, with its total for the 3 weeks being at 65,097.
Okay, doing well. The film is doing quite well.
Yeah, I mean, it's Johnny English. I had no doubt that this is, that it would do well, obviously.
And at number two, we have last week's movie of the week.
Right.
Venom, which has been out for 1 week.
Venom. How did, venomous.
Yeah. And which did pretty good.
Yeah.
It's at 20,572 entries.
And this is its first week.
First week. So performing very properly,
very
decently
good
in the area.
And for the second or third week in a row, I guess. Second week in a row. Kafarnaum remains at number one, with this week's entries being 27,972, but its total run for the 3 weeks that it's been out is 90,893.
Yep.
Which is a great, great number.
Keep them coming.
Yes.
I know a lot of people who still haven't watched it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
very
go watch it.
Well, I mean, I get it. Like, it is a heavy, very heavy movie. But still, let's go and support that.
Yes, definitely.
Because it's very, very exciting. On to recommendations.
Yep.
What shall you be recommending this week?
This week, I want to keep it really light, very silly, a lot of fun.
Okay.
I'm recommending a movie, I think, from the 90s, action movie.
Okay.
I'm recommending Speed.
Speed!
Speed.
Yes! Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Such a fun movie.
It's a great film.
I think, I don't know if the new generation has seen it. If not, it's a good classic action film. Very simply about a bus.
I mean, I don't know if how light I would call it, but it's a fun, suspenseful thrill ride.
As in light, I mean, it's not like intellectual and you have to analyze.
Oh, yeah, no, it's no Interstellar.
It's like very smooth and easygoing.
Yeah.
And it's about this bus who goes above 50 miles per hour and a bomb activates. And if it goes below 50 miles per hour,
the bomb will explode. Talk about a great concept.
Yeah. And all the thing takes place in the bus, inside the small bus.
Really great film.
And Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock are so fun together.
They're brilliant together.
And I think it was probably one of her first roles. Yeah, he wasn't too famous. Yeah. He had done a bit before, but it kind of cemented him as that action hero. And Dennis Hopper. And Lloyd Bridges.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, there was a Lloyd there. Who's also in it.
Yeah. Great film. Not need that stupid sequel.
No, of course not. What sequel? It stopped at the first one.
My recommendation this week is going to be slightly predictable, but I am recommending Walt Disney's Aladdin, the original animation film, because, I mean, there should only be this one.
That's it. They should stop at this one too. Like Speed 2.
Yeah, exactly. The original Aladdin film is, I literally remember seeing it in the movie theater.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Just the magic, the wonder of it, the genie. The songs, the music, the colors. It's just Disney at its best.
Yeah.
Literally, Disney at its, or not literally,
Cartoonishly,
Disney at its best. I think it's a great film, and you can't go wrong with it.
No.
So that will be my recommendation
for
this week.
Nice.
A, because I'm in support of Terry Rossio.
Yeah.
And B, I am not in support of the live action. So this is my rebellion.
And C, because of Robin Williams.
And how much you, Han Solo, love him.
Yeah, I do.
And so do I, obviously.
Yeah.
That's it for this week.
That's a wrap.
We made it.
Yeah.
We made it with 4 minutes to spare.
I'm sure there's still news we can cover in the 4 minutes.
Well, I mean, we did miss one thing, which is that finally a producer from the James Bond franchise confirmed that he will never, ever, 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 ever be a woman.
You're so happy about that.
Well, I mean, yes, because I don't like it when people turn male characters into women. That's not doing women any service at all.
Yeah.
You want good female roles, create them.
Don't take a male role
and turn him into a woman. That's not how it works. And the funny part is that the producer from the James Bond franchise that said this was a woman.
Perfect.
So she's in support of James Bond remaining a man. He was written as a man. We don't need to copy him.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't need to flip him over and make him a woman.
If you want to look a bit at John Wick and Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
So that was an interesting kind of thing.
Exactly.
But, so, yeah, do something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Indiana Jones, Lara Croft.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely, totally. Absolutely.
Very similar, but very different characters.
Exactly.
So that's it.
That's it.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Alan Mahana and
Had.Solo.
And you could also follow us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/scripttoscreenpod. You can also follow us on our website or check out our website at scripttoscreenpod.com. You can also...
You can listen to us on Podbean, Podchasers, Anghami, Apple
Podcasts,
Spotify. You can watch us on YouTube.
And every Thursday, you can actually hear us recommending and talking about movies on
Mix FM.
Which is awesome. Thanks.
Which is Mr. Clint Maximus.
Yeah, the one and only Clint Maximus.
He loves shawarma, by the way. He loves it.
He loves shawarma.
Forever.
Really?
Shawarma forever, indeed.
Shawarma forever, indeed. All right, guys, thank you for joining us. Join us again next Friday for another Script to Screen Spotlight and Saturday for a Script to Screen News Hour. We will be here here. Thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful weekend seeing at the movies.
Ciao, ciao.